Good evening. Welcome to our annual pre-Thanksgiving service we have every year on the Wednesday night right before my favorite holiday of the year. Glad all you folks chose to spend this night with us. It's a great opportunity to think about all the things that we have to be thankful for and give praise to our wonderful God and Father. I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing our first hymn, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. Time, I've asked one of our young men, Isaac Burton, to commend us to the Lord in prayer. Isaac.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity that we have together to come together today and for the purpose of being thankful. And Lord, I'm thankful so much for you and all that you are, your mercy and your grace and your justice and everything that you have. And everything that you've given us. And Lord, I pray that each of us tonight would open our hearts to what's being said and sung, and that we would glorify you, and that we would remember to not only eat good food tomorrow, but to thank you, and to thank you not only in our thoughts, but in our actions. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ, amen.
This time we're going to watch a little video about the first Thanksgiving.
The story of the first Thanksgiving. Around 400 years ago, many people in England were unhappy because their king would not let them pray to God as they liked. The king said they must use the same prayers that he did, and if they refused, they were persecuted, imprisoned, or even killed. These Englishmen left their homes and went far off to a country called Holland. In Holland, they were happy, but they were very poor. And when the children began to grow, they became less godlike and did not want to pray anymore. After much talking and thinking, these English people decided to embark on a pilgrimage to the New World, America. They set out on a small ship called the Mayflower to take them across the sea. There were about 100 people on board the tiny ship. It was crowded, cold, and uncomfortable. The sea was rough. They were 2 months sailing over the Atlantic Ocean. At last, the Mayflower came in sight of land. The month was November, and it was cold. There was nothing to be seen but snow, rocks, and hard, bare ground. They were tired and cold from their long journey, and hungry too. No one had enough food to eat. Many of them became sick, and by springtime, almost half of the people died. In spring, the sun shone brightly. The snow melted, and the leaves and flowers began to emerge. Some friendly Indians had visited the pilgrims during the winter. One of the kind Indians was named Squanto. He stayed with the pilgrims and taught them how to plant their corn, peas, wheat, and barley. The summer came, and the days were long and bright. The pilgrim children were very happy in their new home, Plymouth Rock. When it was autumn, the fathers gathered the barley, wheat, and corn that they had planted and found that it had grown so well that they would have quite enough for a long winter that was coming. "Let us thank God for it all," they said. Then they decided to have a grand Thanksgiving party and invite the friendly Indians. They prepared wild ducks and geese and great wild turkeys. There was deer meat, bread, and cakes. They had fish and clams from the sea nearby. The friendly Indians all came with their chief. They were dressed in deer skins, and some of them had the furry coat of a wildcat hanging on their arm. Their long black hair fell loose on their shoulders and was trimmed with feathers or foxtails. Before they ate, the pilgrims and the Indians thanked God together for all his goodness. And so the story goes of the first Thanksgiving celebrated in Plymouth Colony nearly 400 years ago. As you sit down with your friends and family this Thanksgiving, remember this original tale and give thanks for all of God's abundant blessings.
Come a long ways in 400 years. Even back then, God was in the blessing business, and he's not changed in all this time. He's still given us many, many blessings. This time, I'm going to have Nick Whittemore read a little humorous reading about the turkey's lament.
When I was a young turkey, new to the coop, my big brother Mike took me out on the stoop. Then he sat me down and he spoke real slow, and he told me that there was something that I had to know. His look and his tone I always remember when he told me the horrors of Black November. Come about August, now listen to me. Each day you'll be thick where once you were thin, and you'll grow a big rubbery thing under your chin. And then one morning when you're warm in your bed, it'll burst the farmer's wife and hack off your head. Then she'll pluck out all your feathers so you're bald and pink, and scoop out all your insides and leave you in the sink. And then comes the worst part, he said, not bluffing. She'll spread your cheeks and pack your rear with stuffing. Well, the rest of his words were too grim to repeat. I sat on the stoop like a winged piece of meat and decided on the spot that to avoid being cooked, I'd have to lay low and remain overlooked. I began a new diet of nuts and granola, high roughage salads, juice, and diet cola. And as they ate pastries, chocolate, and crepes, I stayed in the room doing Jane Fonda tapes. I maintained my weight of 2.5 pounds and tried not to notice when the bigger birds laughed. But 'twas I who was laughing under my breath as they chomped and chewed ever closer to death. And sure enough, when Black November rolled around, I was the last turkey left in the entire compound. So now I'm a pet in the farmer's wife's lap. I haven't a worry, so I eat and I nap. She held me today while sewing and humming and smiled at me and said, "Christmas is coming."
We have it pretty good compared to the turkeys, don't we? This time I'll ask you to stand and sing another song, another wonderful Thanksgiving song, "Forever." Folks, we're going to have come on is we've got a young man who hasn't been saved but about a month, Eric Aguilera, who's going to have a little reading entitled "Around the Table," and then we'll have a special number and song by Joseph and Anna Shelley, followed by our first speaker of the evening, Gary Jones.
This is a great opportunity. I'm kind of nervous. The story that I'm kind of reading is "Around the Table." I'm just going to go ahead and get this over with. One Thanksgiving season, a family was seated around their table, looking at the annual holiday bird from the oldest to the youngest. They were to express their praise. When they came to the 5-year-old in the family, he began by looking at the turkey and expressing his thanks to the turkey, saying although he had not tasted it, he knew it would be good. After that rather novel expression of thanksgiving, he began with a more predictable line of credits, thanking his mother for cooking the turkey and his father for buying the turkey. But then he went beyond that. He joined together a whole hidden multitude of benefactors, linking them with cause and effect. He said, I thank you for the checker at the grocery store who checked out the turkey. I thank you for the grocery store people who put it on the shelf. I thank you for the farmer who made it fat. I thank you for the man who made the feed. I thank you for those who brought the turkey to the store. Using his Columbia-like little mind, he traced the turkey all the way from its origin to his plate. And then at the end, he solemnly said, Did I leave anybody out? His three-year older brother, embarrassed by all those proceedings, said, God. Solemnly, without being flustered at all, the five-year-old said, I was about to get to him. Well, isn't that the question which we ought to think at Thanksgiving time? Are we really going to get to him this Thanksgiving?
Stormy seas, I am strong. your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me up to more than I can be.
If you would turn to Psalms 103, when Todd asked me what I'd speak about, or to speak about Thanksgiving, I was like, where do you start? You know, but often, like Eric said, I'd admit I'm like that five-year-old. We get caught up with all the gifts and all the blessings, and we lose sight. So tonight, I want to start with God. And if you would, I think we could read those first two verses together. Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Y'all want to read with me? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Now what is it? When you get a new job or you're out looking for that job that everybody wants, what do they want? We just read it. Benefits. They want the benefits. Well, you know, once we come in the family of God and we're His children and we start serving Him, there's a whole list. Before we start serving, it's not based on service. There's a whole list of benefits. And as I thought about Thanksgiving, and I thought about when I'm not thankful, what are some things, or why are we often not thankful? Anybody? Speak up, because I can't hear. Anybody have a reason why we're not unthankful? Okay, I'll just go on. A lot of times I'm not thankful because I'm looking from the wrong angle or direction. I'm saying, why don't I have this or I need this? Not look at all I have. You know, look at all the many blessings God's already provided me. And I'm always looking to the next thing. Another reason we look on the physical plane, you know, what we see, not on the spiritual plane. So, tonight, we need to look on the spiritual plane. We always need to look on the spiritual plane. Also, we forget. David starts off, forget not. We forget so quick. So, and it's important to notice or to recognize we are a spiritual people. We're not the physical or the earthly people. As is Israel. We are the spiritual people. And all our blessings from Ephesians 1 are in heavenly places. We have them now. They are waiting for us. But they are spiritual blessings. So David understood the spiritual things. He understood our greatest need was to come before God and approach God was His holiness and our insufficiency and our sin. So he starts off in verse 3, who pardons all of your iniquities. And aren't we thankful that it says all, not some or just a few, but it says He pardons all of our iniquities. See, David understood the sin problem. And David understood that his greatest need was pardon or forgiveness from his sins. And then, who heals all your diseases? You know, and I think a lot of times in our day, because of medical science, as far as it's progressed, this goes overlooked. and we think the doctors are just take it for granted and take this medicine. Well, they didn't have that in David's day. They had a few oils and anointments and stuff, but to put on a wound, but they didn't have what we have. So when they got sick, they died, typically. A very little disease that we take for granted killed people back then. So he heals all your diseases. And in verse 4, he redeems your life from the pit. And if you read that word pit, and look it up, that word pit, it says in the Hebrew it means pit, but it also means destruction, which we could tie into hell, because we've heard that rendered like that, destruction or hell and destruction. And then it also has an attachment to the dungeon. And I think of sin and how we're in bondage, imprisonment to sin. And then from death or decay, the word decay has that attachment to the pit. So that's death. So David says, he purchased me, he redeemed me, my life from the pit, from hell, sin, and death. All those we have deliverance in Christ. And then it says, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. And that is, that word crown means surrounds. So all our days, I believe even before we come unto salvation, that God has his hand on us. He surrounds us with loving kindness and compassion. And in verse 5, he satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. So here we see all the physical realm of blessing of God. You know, our family, our friends. He satisfies your years with good things. Health. Your youth is renewed like an eagle. And then, I'm out of time, but I'll just read these last few verses. Verse 10. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame and is mindful that we are but dust. Let's continue to thank him tonight.
Thank you, Gary. We're going to run a lot of people up here who talk about things that we have to be thankful for. It'd be nice if I could have everyone here, you know, come up here and say something that they're thankful for. We don't have time for that. So your opportunity to give thanks and to give praise is to participate when we're singing and doing some things as a congregation. And if somebody asks you a question like Gary does, answer. Be interactive, okay? We want to hear your thoughts, and we all should be willing to say something that we're thankful for. So we have another opportunity to sing my tribute. How can I say thanks? We all should be able to sing this from our heart. Next couple of speakers we're going to have, our brother Jonathan Murdoch is going to give us a reading about overflowing with thanks, followed by Claiborne Barefoot.
Good evening. Overflowing with thanksgiving. I hate organ recitals. No pipe or not pipe organs especially, but this kind. How are you today, Gladys? Terrible, just terrible. Did I tell you about my gallbladder acting up? Yes, Gladys. She doesn't seem to acknowledge my yes, but launches into a full-scale report on gallbladders around the world, and hers in particular. When she sees my eyes beginning to glaze over, Gladys falters for a moment. She knows she has to switch gears quickly to keep me from nodding off. And I have this terrible skin rash that drives me so crazy that I can't sleep at night. I'm trying hard to be polite. Oh, I'm sorry. I attempt to stop myself, but it's too late. The ill-fated word had crossed my lips. Sorry. And now I have fed Gladys her first morsel of real food for the day. She seems to take new energy, and as she describes her itching, I begin to sense little crawling things in my scalp. I unconsciously reach up to scratch my head, but nothing gets by Gladys. Oh, that's the first sign, she begins. You've met Gladys, haven't you? It might be a different name. Gladys goes under a number of aliases and dons many disguises, but it's the same complaining, self-centered woman. Too often, however, I meet Gladys in me. I want people to sympathize with me, so when something is going wrong, and when doesn't it, I begin to complain. The 49ers are having a bad season. The morals of our nation are terrible. The election was depressing. My spouse is in a bad mood. It doesn't have to dwell on the interior plumbing of a sick Gladys. Normal complaining comes all too easily to my lips. So when I read Colossians 2:6-7, it hits home. The phrase, overflowing with thankfulness, begins to repeat itself over and over in my mind. Overflowing, abounding. Some translations say, brings the mental picture of the Thanksgiving cornucopia spilling out an abundant harvest blessing. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is in my heart? Complaining? Selfishness? Pride? Or thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is the mark of a Christian, because thanksgiving points out and up, while my complaining points only back to me and feeds my pride and dissatisfaction. Thanksgiving towards God and man fits the great commandment like a glove: to love God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. What better vehicle than thankfulness to express love? The Pillsbury Doughboy has that endearing quality that when you poke him, he doesn't flare up, but automatically responds with his friendly and perky, ooh. I want to be like him. Not so plump, mind you, but that full of friendliness. When someone pokes me, I want my first instinct to be thankfulness rather than anger. I want people to find thankfulness oozing out of me. I want thanksgiving to mark my conversation and manner. I want to abound with and be full of it. I want to overflow with thankfulness. How about you? Colossians 2:6-7 reads, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Thank you.
Good evening. Happy Thanksgiving. And there's different ways for us to look at being thankful. I guess the thesis for my thoughts on Thanksgiving is based on the idea that in order to be truly thankful, we need to recognize the value of the blessings. So I wanted to just briefly speak tonight on being thankful for the completeness of the Godhead. Now, I know most of you are thinking that's a pretty broad subject for the time frame tonight. That's exactly what Holly said when she asked about the subject. And she's right, but I was too far into it. And besides, this is what I'm thankful for. So I'm going to try to get through this, and you can fill in the blanks for yourself. But I did want to talk about the Godhead, the triunity of the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and what a mystery of the three persons in one. And we're invited, yet long for, to have an intimate relationship with each one individually. And yet, it's absolutely necessary, I feel, to confess and enter into the blessings and fellowship with the persons of the Godhead as a whole. The primary reason I wanted to highlight this subject is that the truth of the Trinity and our confession of the Godhead is at the heart of everything we believe and do. Our belief system and in whom we trust ultimately dictates and directs our steps and actions throughout life. And most important, determines our destiny, our eternal destiny. So I'd like for us to briefly consider the present and the eternal blessings we have in the great three in one. And first, God, the creator of heaven and earth. Genesis 1:1 simply states that God created the heavens and the earth. The Hebrew scholars tell us that the Hebrew name for God used here is Elohim. And it speaks to us of the power and strength of God, the strong God who created the heavens and earth out of nothing. And also, Elohim signifies the plurality of the persons of the Godhead. So then the next 24 verses provide us the order and time frame of the 6 days in which God created the heavens and the earth. And we see here that God put into motion his moral laws of physics, mathematics, thermodynamics, and most important, the biological disciplines that would govern and provide order for us here on earth, as well as the order and beauty throughout the universe. In verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness," indicating here again that God is not alone in his creative process. We see that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. What a blessing for God to create us in his image of the Godhead, that is, with a spirit, soul, and body. To have the God of the universe desire to create man in his own image in order for us to have fellowship with himself and to provide everything on the face of the earth that we would ever need, how thankful we should be. Sadly, we have a tragic day in the history of mankind as God records the fall of the human race in Genesis chapter 3. We see that the fall of man set into motion God's plan of salvation, in which would provide the solution to God's perfect love and yet satisfy his demand for justice and holiness. So 2,000 to 3,000 years later, thus enters the second person of the Godhead in the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies and pictures and types. Paul in Romans 5 tells us, he says, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Paul continues on making the case that the whole world is guilty before God because of the fall of Adam. In verse 12, he says, "Therefore, just as one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sin." Verse 15, "But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many." Verse 18, "Therefore, as one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life." So we see that the sin and fall of man caused a huge problem and created a great gulf between God and man, and God solved the problem by providing a free gift to us in the person of his beloved Son. Christ, the second person of the Godhead, we see he became something that he was never before, and that is he chose to humble himself and come to earth as man and identified with sinful man and took our sins upon himself so we could receive forgiveness of our sins and should become the sons of God. What a blessing. Christ our Savior. And Christ continues, and we read in the book of Hebrews how he continues his work on our behalf. We see that Christ, after his ascension into heaven, is sitting at the right hand of God and now becomes our advocate, mediator, and our great high priest. And he ever presents us perfect and righteous before God. He ever lives to make intercession for them who come to God through him. And because of Christ and his obedience to the will of the Father, we can come boldly into the throne of, into God's presence. How thankful we should be. As God provides the gift of eternal life in the person of his Son, so God provides another gift to us in the person of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. In Acts 2, then Peter said to them, "Repent for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In John 14, verse 26, in Christ speaking to his disciples, he says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said unto you." So we see that the Holy Spirit is our divine teacher, guide, and comforter, the vicar of Christ. It is the Holy Spirit who produces the fruit of the Spirit in our hearts and lives. It is he who takes the Word of God and uses the truths to change and conform us into the image of Christ. As one writer says, when God pardons a man for Christ's sake, he gives him the Spirit, the power of a new life. No subject, therefore, can be of greater importance to the pardoned sinner than that of the Holy Spirit. His capacity to understand the things of God, his power for Christian living and service, the means by which he may commune with God and intercede with him on behalf of others, are all found in the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to them that obey him. The same power that created the heavens and the earth, and the power that raised Christ from the grave, is the same power of the Godhead that is available in our lives too. You know, because of the Godhead and all that we can learn, we do not need to grovel at the feet of the world, or manipulate ourselves through life, or allow the pseudo-intellectuals of the world to intimidate us with their clever lies concerning creation and God and other issues of life. We have the fellowship and the power of the Godhead to guide and direct our steps. What a blessing. May we enter more and more into the blessing of fellowship with the great three in one. Amen.
Thank you, Claiborne. What a blessed triune God we serve. This time we have a special number in song by the praise team.
Thankful people, come, raise the song.
to ask you to all join us on the final stanza of Come Ye Thankful People Come. Singing, and thank you, praise team. This time we have our final speaker. There he is. I didn't see him in the audience. Mark Armfield, followed by our traditional singing by Miss Kathleen Freeman of Bless This House.
Thank you for the opportunity to share some things that the Lord laid on my heart about Thanksgiving. Always makes you a little nervous when you're sharing the time with other brothers because you're not sure what they'll use of your material. And thankfully, I only had one verse that will be repeated tonight. But I thought about what Todd asked me to share, and I want to share just a few things first that I'm personally thankful for. And it's very easy when you get asked to speak on a certain topic to maybe Google a little bit about that. Sometimes I do that. It just helps me to kind of direct my thoughts a little bit, but I kind of refrained from that because I didn't want to get caught up in any Thanksgiving cliches or some of the things that you hear quoted very often this time of year. So I just really began to look in the Word and just to meditate and ask God to speak to me about what I would share tonight. If I had to say the one thing that I'm most thankful for, it would have to be without a doubt my salvation. And I know that there's many of y'all that would agree and say amen to that. Because it all starts right there for me as a believer. Without that, I would still be lost and undone. Many things that I would not be able to say that I'm thankful for. And I would hope that if I was even as Job, who lost it all, that I would still be able to be thankful that I have retained my salvation. The one verse I will repeat, if I had to name a favorite verse, and I have many, it would be Romans 5:8. And I just want to read it to give honor to that verse. I can quote it backwards and forwards. It's my favorite. But I want to read it, and then I want to make note of a footnote in my Bible. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I've got that highlighted and even written in the margins, no greater love along with that. But I want to read just one of the notes that's in the footnotes. It says, the extent of God's love is shown in the fact that Christ died for men in whom there was nothing that invoked that love. Now that's something to be thankful for. So I really would have to say that if I had to name one thing that I'm thankful for, it would be my salvation. Psalm 95:1 says, "Oh come," I'm sorry, 92:1 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord," and we know that that is true. I want to read Psalm 100 just because it is a psalm of thanksgiving. "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. For we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and His faithfulness to all generations." If I did have to give a list of some things I'm thankful for, I'm thankful just not for my salvation, but I'm also just thankful for God's love and His mercy and His patience with me and for me. I'm very thankful for my family. my wonderful wife and partner, my three beautiful children, that God has given me, and given me a very like-minded partner that I'm thankful for. I cannot even imagine life without her and all the things that she does for us and for me. I'm very thankful for my extended family. I was talking, I believe it was to Mark recently, you know, my dad went home to be with the Lord in July, and we've been, over the last several months, settling his estate. I've got two brothers and two sisters. There's five of us. We've had numerous meetings, and we've had many opportunities to be together and start to take care of the estate and divide up some property and some things. And there has not even been one hint of a cross word or any disagreement over anything. And that's just such a blessing to have such a godly family as that. And I'm very thankful for my brothers and sisters. I'm thankful for my in-laws. I'm thankful for my outlaws. And just the whole extended family. I've got a wonderful, wonderful extended family. And I'm very thankful for my church family. For the brothers and sisters that are here tonight. And for even the ones that are not able to be here tonight. For all the many Christian friends that God has surrounded me with and given me throughout my life. I'm thankful for the ministry that God has given me here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel with the youth. I may end up being the oldest living youth director in the world, but I'm still enjoying it. And for now, God has shown me that He can still bless me through that ministry. And believe me, I receive a blessing from the young people way more than they probably ever receive from me. But to switch gears just a little bit, I wanted to mention some things I'm thankful for just while I had the platform and the opportunity. But I also wanted to talk a minute about what it truly means to be thankful. And it's very easy for us to say that we're thankful for something. We know that talk is cheap and that sometimes you can say things. And what I want to impress upon us tonight is when we say those things, we want to make sure as believers that our attitudes and actions show that we're truly thankful for those things. When I say that I am thankful for my health, do I couple that with taking care of my body? It's very easy to thank God for our health, but we also have a responsibility too to take care of ourselves. It's very easy to say that you're thankful, as I did for my family, but is that reflected in the way I treat them or the way I talk about them when I'm not around them? One of my pet peeves, and this is something that really bothers me, is to be around a bunch of guys and them say something derogatory or demeaning about their spouse, about their wives. And I'm sure that for ladies it's the same thing if they were to hear a group of women talking bad about their husbands. I just don't do it, even jokingly, around other people. And I think that just reflects how thankful you are for that person that God's placed in your life if you honor them by doing that. You know, are we really thankful for our jobs? In this economy, you better be. You know, these days and times, there's many people out of work. Many people. And are we really thankful for our jobs, or do we complain about them? The scripture in Philippians tells us to do all things without grumbling and complaining. But you know, if we say we're thankful, yes, Lord, I'm thankful I've got a job, it's putting food on the table and a roof over our heads. But if we're complaining about it while we're there or to other people, then are we really truly thankful for that? So another example of how our attitudes and actions are to speak to the thanksgiving that we have in our hearts. So I hope that's just something tonight that you can meditate on as I have. I didn't want to go over my time. These are subjects, like Claiborne said, that you can spend the whole time on and not have three different brothers come up. But I thank you for the opportunity to be here, and I mean that. I enjoy the time that I get to spend up here speaking these things. So be thankful, and when you are, let your attitudes and actions show it.
Thank you.
I about made it through a service without crying. Thank you, Kathleen. And isn't that our prayer? That one day we will all dwell with Him. And it's my prayer that the Lord will bless this house of believers. Thank you, everyone who participated tonight. I get torn up this time of year, every time of year when you see me come up here. So it's not that different. But we are going to have some refreshments that the ladies' committee have provided for us. And I pray that this will be Thanksgiving every day in our hearts, not just one day a year. Let's just close the service in prayer. Father God, we just thank you so much for who you are. The Almighty Triune God, who left heaven's glory, came down to this earth as a man, took all our sins upon yourself, that we might be with you for all eternity. Lord, we praise you and thank you for that. Praise you and thank you for all the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us, Lord. Too many to name. Bountiful, everlasting. Ones on this earth and ones that are waiting for us in glory. Lord, we pray that you will work in each of our hearts and lives, that we will truly be thankful every day of our lives. We will live and have our actions line up with these words of thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for all that participated tonight. We thank you for each home represented here, Lord, that your hand of blessing will be upon it. Lord, we thank you now for the refreshments we're about to partake of and the hands that have provided those. Lord, that you will just bless them to our bodies and our bodies to your service. Now go with us as we separate to commit this night into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.